This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to ACC Nation, featuring sports news and special guest interviews. Here's Will Ogenin and Jim Quist.
Long time no see. Hey, who is
that? Who are you?
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I kind of wanted to get your impression about the basketball season some time ago, but obviously we didn't get around to that. But I'll ask you now, before we get into a little more contemporary things. So how do you feel the basketball season for the men? Then we'll get into the women, because there's a special note there.
What happened? I already forgot. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think once we got to the final, I thought it was pretty obvious who was going to win once we got into a certain point in the tournament. Mm-hmm. UConn just looked unbeatable. And they had a counter for everything. Whenever they would be in a close game, they would, especially the Alabama game where the Tide were in it the whole way, and then they finally pulled away. They started shooting the ball well and really clamping down defensively. Unfortunately, I picked Houston to win in my bracket, and I thought they had a real shot until their best player got hurt in the Duke game, and
that was it.
Ruined my men's bracket.
That was it. Well, yep. NC State had a nice run. Mm-hmm. I think there's no denying that. Also, we can go back and look at the fact that the ACC, which was downplayed most of the season by everyone, pretty much even within our own conference, a lot of us, including myself, downplayed the abilities of teams within the ACC. Just didn't think it was an up season for the guys at all. And then when we get to the conference tournament, things just went wild as usual. And it became ACC basketball. It became fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everything that we expect all season long happened in just this really tight little package. It was pretty much a wild, wild run there at the end.
It was. And usually there's a star of March. And I feel like DJ Burns was that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I know we've seen him for the past couple of years at NC State, and he's a good player. But
yeah. But
somebody always becomes that story, and he became that because he had a huge tournament, and playing really. He was a good player. Don't get me wrong, but he was like God level during both the ACC and NCAA tournaments, because everyone knew he was getting the ball and he was doing something with it. Most of the time he was scoring, but as we've seen, he's a good passer, and he was. Yeah. He was able to find open players and, get them shots too. And it was unfortunate that he didn't really get an opportunity to really go one-on-one with Zach Edey much because of foul trouble. But that's what happens when you face a 7-4 guy. And
basketball.
What the national media says, Edey does get away with a lot. They just don't want to accept it.
Yeah, boy.
But it wasn't just Burns. It was Horn having a big tournament. He had some big games. I know they were hitting a three quite a bit against a Duke in that Elite Eight game. Their defense really clamped down too. And just kind of the whole run of the Wolfpack to go from 5 games in 5 days, going through what they had to go through to get there, they were tied late with Louisville. They beat Duke. They needed a miracle three to get to overtime against Virginia. Beat UNC in the championship to get the auto bid. All these different upsets. Beating Texas Tech in the first round. Obviously, beat Oakland in the second round. Okay, that wasn't an upset, but they had the potential star of the potential star of the tournament, and they beat them. And then moving on, beat one in the Sweet 16, beat Duke in the Elite Eight, and then it wasn't like they got blown out in the Final Four game. Excuse me. I mean, yeah, they lost by double digits, but I felt like they were about as competitive with Purdue as just about every team was that had faced them to that point,
right,
other than UConn in the championship game. So it's not like I think they just, that was one of those situations where, and Edie, contrary, and I just said a moment ago, he was one of the best players in the country still. And he's a hard player to defend, and you need a lot of talent to really do it. And I mean, UConn had a guy who was almost his equal in the championship game in Klingon, who's only a couple of inches shorter than him, but UConn had more talent. I think that was the real difference. But kudos to the Wolfpack for an unbelievable season.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That's what basketball tends to be about. It's that excitement factor. Out of nowhere, somebody can come and just be on and be hot. And sometimes they go on a run. And I'd say that's what happened. That team just hit that sweet spot at the right time and made that run, and it just was magical. That's a cool thing. On the women's side, NC State, again, a great run, a phenomenal performance by the women. And let's make note here that you did pick in your bracket the winner. So
I actually got the whole Final Four right.
Did you?
We're gonna not so humbly brag here. I did get
why not
all four of my Final Four in the bracket. I had NC State. I had South Carolina. I had UConn. Why can I not think of who? Oh, Iowa.
Yeah,
I should know that because Caitlin Clark was picked.
Yeah.
I had all four of them, and I had the championship game right of South Carolina and Iowa, which it was kind of a chalky one, but it was the most logical one, to be honest with you. Although I felt, UConn had every opportunity to go too, but just South Carolina was just too much.
Yeah.
That's
across the board.
Yep.
Just amazing reason, talent.
There's a reason Don Staley, I would say, is just the best college basketball coach right now, both men and women. I mean, when you can get what she can get and put out what she can put out on the court, and ran the table this year, it's amazing what she can do. No surprise that they won the tournament. And you've been running the table. Remember, they almost blew it. I think it was the second round game. I think it was that where they were up double digits and then just kind of coasted and then almost blew it.
Yeah.
Kind of a wake up call, to be honest with you.
It was a good thing. It's good for teams like that.
Yeah. And you have, somebody in Camilla Cardoza who, I think she, I was trying to remember what, I think her height's like 6'7" or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But she looked like Zach Edey compared to everyone else on the floor.
Great player.
There's a reason she was also drafted so high up in the WNBA draft.
Yeah. And so let's talk about the WNBA draft. A lot of people out of the ACC being picked up and headed toward the WNBA. Before we get there, though, let's make note of the fact that as we have been honking the horn about women's basketball for years, and this year the numbers, the viewership has just exploded because it is quality basketball. You've got all of these wonderful players, and it's fun to watch. It's competitive. It's dramatic. And You know, a lot of people are turning on to women's basketball who may not have been fans of basketball to begin with, but now are, or people who are not finding what they want either at the pro level or in the men, and went over to the women and found all of these people that are just stellar players and coaches who are sometimes I want to call them wackadoodles, but they're so good at what they do. Bring up Dawn Staley. She's just an amazing coach. Doesn't qualify in the wackadoodle category, thank goodness. But, you watch that, and now you know why the numbers were so much higher for women's basketball versus men's basketball. And whether or not it stays that way, who knows? But it is also nice to see that a lot of pros are stepping up and saying, hey, shouldn't WNBA players be making more money than they are? And again, it really comes down to if those viewership numbers and attendance numbers start to follow into the WNBA, if people go from college to watching the same players in the WNBA and those numbers follow, then the money will follow as well. It should. So,
100%. Yeah. I think I saw it was over 2 million people watch the WNBA draft.
That's quite a
pretty freaking impressive number.
Yeah.
And obviously, Caitlin Clark had a lot to do with that, although I could have done without all the theatrical Jake from State Farm. I could have done without that personally. So if you're wondering what the Caitlin Clark impact is, I saw in the press conference. I don't know if it happened today or not, but Caitlin Clark said she had grown up a Minnesota Lynx fan, which cool. You know, if you ever end up in free agency, you can always come home in a way. But while we're talking here, I was told this actually and I'm looking it up to confirm it, but the Indiana Fever take on the Minnesota Lynx on July 14th here at Target Center, Minneapolis. Currently on the secondary market, the cheapest price to get in is $267.
So
is the Caitlin Clark effect, folks.
The money is starting to follow.
Oh, yeah. And really is support the product.
Yeah.
If you want these ladies to make more money, support the product by watching it on TV. Go to the games. I just told you about how much Lynx tickets are to go see, Caitlin Clark. Buy the merch.
It is still very affordable. That's the cool thing is that it's not going to kill your family to go to a WNBA basketball game. At all. It's just not like it would if you're going to an NFL game, which will bankrupt you. The NBA is almost as bad. It's creeping into that same territory in men's basketball. So, women are following there, so.
Yep.
Get it while you can.
Yeah. And it is really a big deal. You just go and, trying to get out there and support it. And I know I've seen too many posts online today about the inequality thing. And I think it's really an apples and oranges comparison, especially when you're like, oh, Caitlin Clark only makes this much money. Should she make more?
Ideal world, sure.
Yes, but nobody. Did you not watch the WNBA draft? Did you not see all the State Farm stuff surrounding her? I'm sure she's making plenty of money from State Farm and other endorsements too, yet to come.
Yeah,
I'm sure there are many places in Indianapolis that are going to want to do business with her.
So. You know, it's there. It's and again, support it, and then we can come back and discuss this in a year or two and see if that money is following, and if it's finding its way into people's pocketbooks who are the product, the you know, providing the content, the players. It will happen. It will happen. So some of the other stuff, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to make a note before we move on. You know, I'm thinking about a quote from Don Staley talking about Caitlin Clark being the reason that the women's game has, you know, grown up, you know, exploded. And while I do agree, she had a lot to do with it. What I'm hoping for is I'm just hoping that ratings don't take a huge drop next year, because we've talked about this, you know, through this podcast and through our guest Megan Gower, her hoop stats. There are many other great players that are still going to be playing next year. Paige Beckers, who again, local to me, cool. And we talked about Hannah Hidalgo of Notre Dame, Juju Watkins, USC. There are plenty of great players still that are going to be playing college basketball next year, and especially in the case of Hidalgo, you know, we'll see her in the conference here.
That's right. Keep that in mind if you're an ACC basketball fan, that, you know, with the addition of Stanford is a quality women's basketball program.
And we'll see how they go with the retirement of their coach, too.
Yeah. I was reading about the replacement just yesterday, I guess. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of interesting changes there, and I know that you know, people will downplay a lot of what Stanford, Cal, and SMU will be bringing to the ACC. I think that's a really bad move on your part if you're doing that, because there's an immense amount of quality sports that all three of these schools will bring to the table. And I really, really want people to keep an eye on the following. SMU football, maybe not this coming year, but I would keep an eye on that program. you know, I keep up with them, what's going on, and man, they're doing some stuff there that just watch. Okay. And so if you want to downplay SMU, feel free to talk bad about them all you want, but when they sneak up and bite you in the rear, don't say that nobody warned you about it. 'Cause I'm warning you right now. It may not be this year, but I'm telling you, SMU, keep an eye on that.
Well, just to kind of add on to that, there was announced today that their season ticket sales are already like in record. They've already broken a record with the move to the ACC. They're up 50% compared to end of 2023, and according to this, it says they're on pace to double its season ticket sales, and it's a pretty impressive when you consider the opponents are kind of lackluster. I don't think they get like any of the big names there this year, coming to SMU. Yeah. But still, the fact that they're doing that, I think it says a lot. And with the money that they have, and you know, now that they're in a bigger conference, and with the money behind them, I think they're going to be. They're going to be a top half of the conference team, at least in football, very soon.
Yep. Speaking of college football, lots of spring games over the last week or two. And I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch any of those. I did. Got to see a few of them. Some interesting stuff. Spring games don't tell you a lot about really about anything, to be honest with you. It just gives you a little bit of a preview of some of the players and who may stand out and who you're kind of looking forward to being a performer, and did see some of that. Gotta say, all the games that I did catch, definitely saw some quality play. And, you know, even if it's just a snapshot, it's something that tells you, I think this coming season is going to be fun for a lot of people who did not have fun last season and the season before. I'm really looking forward to when we start doing our football previews. We've got a few extra teams to throw in there, so that we're going to be packed this summer. We're going to try to get we try to do this every year. We can't always promise that we're going to get everybody. It just sometimes it works out that way. People are busy, and some of the people that we like to get to come on and help us preview their teams, they're not always available. But we do our best to get all of the schools in, and we're going to do the same thing again this season. And see if we can pack in. Love to get all 18, if possible. We'll see. You know.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go back to a moment from what I said a moment ago. SMU actually does host Florida State this year at the end of September at their place. So, mea culpa on that. But I have not watched much spring football yet. I just been very busy. Outside of work, just life gets in the way sometimes. Sure. So I've just been kind of trying to follow what I can online. You really can't take a ton out of spring. Just glorified practices, really. But it's just kind of like that last little. I mean, really, after these spring practices, you don't get much until July. When you get media days and practices and everything leading up to the season. So this is kind of like that little bit of a teaser, I guess you could say. I know Virginia's spring game is coming up this Saturday. So I'm hoping to catch that again. I don't know if I'll be able to, but on a personal level, yes, I would like to watch it because I kind of want to see what the quarterback situation looks like. According to everything, you know, I've read they're going to be splitting reps, both Tony Musket and Anthony Calandria. And I'll just take this opportunity right now to promote our friends over at All Sports Discussion. I was on their podcast this most recently. It came out on Monday to preview Virginia football. So give our friends over there a shout out. And you can obviously listen to it on ACC Nation Radio as you well know, if you've listened to us, we partner with them to have their podcasts on ACC Nation Radio, and that episode will be up on there if you go check it out. But it was it was weird because obviously I didn't really know what to say fully, not knowing, you know, not seeing a lot of the spring stuff, but I think there's some reasons for optimism, but there's also reasons for pessimism too. It's kind of a weird, we'll see what happens. But outside of that, you know, we're, you know, looking at other, you know, all these other teams that are, we think will contend or be really, really good this year. Obviously, we know Clemson will be really good. We know Florida State will be really good. Those are kind of the two teams expected to be near the top of the league. Kind of curious to see how NC State, you know, fares this year. They have a new quarterback, the one from Coastal Carolina, Grayson McCall, how he adapts to that offense, to Robert and I's offense, you know, and how he's going to be able to, if he needs to throw, if he'll be able to. Obviously Miami, they've got a lot of new pieces. They got a new quarterback. How is it all going to mesh? Virginia Tech is a team a lot of people are high on because they have so much returning experience. Can they be that this year's Louisville, basically? I mean, I think there's a lot of intrigue with ACC football this upcoming season, and we're looking forward to starting these previews up here in a little bit.
should be fun. Speaking of spring football, the portal, whew, man, talking about, and this is college football in general. If you follow people who are jumping into the portal, there are people going left and right here already, and I'm not really sure what's a motivating factor, if there is a motivating factor other than just time. But I've noticed that it's very active. So
yeah, a lot of these people that are in there now are for the most part are people who are down on the depth chart and just don't see the playing time that they were expecting. So they're trying to go somewhere where maybe they have a fair shake at some playing time, or they realize Colorado's a dumpster fire and they're trying to get out before it's too late.
Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to select that particular school to focus on. You're not lying.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you see the posts where the two sons are trying to recruit players through Instagram.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know what when I first saw that, I was just like, oh my, this is far worse than I'd imagined. But yeah, look, if you're realistic, I think, and you look at how Prime has functioned as a coach with the program there, Colorado, you were just waiting for the implosion.
Uh-huh.
I think we're
seeing and we'll that, see. So. I mean, obviously, Shadur is a good quarterback. He's actually a pretty solid quarterback. But
yes, he is.
They've got no O-line. What little they, I think their whole O-line from last year is gone. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's any better, especially with the way with the way Deion's doing this, with pretty much going just about full portal here.
Yeah. Only lasts for so long.
Yeah.
You know, at some point that stuff catches up with you.
Yeah. And I think I think the best way to build your team is through, it's kind of like building a professional roster. You build through the draft and supplement with free agents. It's no different, except the terminology is different.
Mm-hmm.
You build your team through the recruiting process, and then you supplement with the transfer portal. That's really the ideal way to do it.
It's the only way to do it now.
I mean,
it's just really the only way.
Unless you do go for majority transfer portal, but that's a very risky proposition.
I think this is why some of the older basketball coaches have bailed in. It's not so much their age. I think it's just that the system has changed so much, and then you throw the NIL in there as well, and then it just makes it a cluster, and it's more than I think that they want to deal with. So they say, goodbye. I don't blame them.
I certainly don't blame them, though.
I don't either.
If you're used to doing it one way for so long, and then you have to do it a completely different way, especially if you're well off, you don't have to do it. You could just say peace.
Yeah.
That's why Roy Williams and Coach K and Jay Wright have all left lately. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I'm sure there's others who are probably thinking the same thing.
Let me touch base with you about Coach Cal leaving Kentucky. I mean, do you think that's reflective of what we're talking about, or is that something more or something less?
I think it's completely different personally. I think Kentucky is Kentucky's problem. How to explain this? Their fan base is too rabid.
yeah.
That's a place where I like it's getting too bad, where expectations are just unrealistic. I mean, Mark Pope could go in there and win 22 games, make the NCAA tournament, have a solid season. People would still be calling for his head.
Yeah, where's the
I mean,
championship?
yeah, it's championship or bust. And I don't think that's the way to go. I mean, Cal was building his team through, he would get the one and dones and then have a couple of pieces, transfer guys. And it just, for whatever the reason, just never didn't fully work. You've seen some of those bad losses he's taken in the NCAA tournament the last couple of years. Obviously, this year lost to Oakland.
Yeah.
Remember, he lost to St. Peter's in the, was it 2 years ago in the NCAA tournament? They've been taking some strange losses. And remember, I think it was 2021, they completely missed it, if I'm not mistaken. It was the same year Duke missed it. I'm trying to do the math right in my head. But the last few years, even with all that talent, has not gone well. And I don't think the relationship between Cal and the AD was the best either. And he supposedly had connections with Tyson, the brand, like the chicken brand, who's a big, supporter of Arkansas Athletics. So it just kind of made sense for him to move on there, to go to Arkansas. I don't know. It's hard to say how well it's going to work out. I don't think you're going to expect immediate success, and I don't, frankly, I don't believe you. And Cal's going to have the same level of success at Arkansas that he did at Kentucky or even Memphis to an extent, going back. So he took Memphis to the championship game once. But I just think Cal's just about done
Yeah.
personally.
So he's going down there, and instead of it being a potential cluster, it's going to be a clucker. Ah, see what you did there. after your last using the ruler routine, I had to come up with something. All right, let's take a look at some other sports here real quickly. D1 Baseball has come out with their field of 64 projections. And it came out today, as a matter of fact. That would be the 17th, by the way. The Morgantown region, Virginia Tech is a number two seed. In the Columbia region, Boston College is a number three seed. Didn't expect to see Boston College in here at all this year. They've just sort of slipped away. We talked about this a couple of episodes back about Boston College baseball just sort of had that surge. And then it was just sort of disappeared. And now it's, I guess it's back, I suppose. Anyway, Clemson region, number one, Clemson. And they are also the number three national seed in the Durham region. Number one seed there is Duke. They're a number 14 national seed. Tallahassee region, it's Florida State, a number one seed and a number five national seed. Winston-Salem region, Wake Forest is a number one seed there and 11 nationally. Chapel Hill region, UNC is a number one and number seven nationally. Charlottesville region, Virginia is a number one seed and number 10 nationally. And the last ACC team in this projection is in the Greenville region, and that's at number two, NC State. That's quite a few teams from the ACC, more so than we have seen for quite a while.
Yeah, like ACC baseball's been really good this year overall, as a product. We talked about looking at some of the overall teams. You see Clemson and Florida State both 30-6. We talked about them, Florida State being the last, one of the last undefeated teams for a while there. They're having a really strong season, kind of a rebound season. Clemson's been really good again. They're 30-6 overall. And they still have the Atlantic and the Coastal divisions in this, folks. So if you're still jonesing for that, I mean, it's still a little weird to see, but it is what it is. I mean, on the Coastal side, North Carolina has a three-game lead in the division on Virginia, Duke, and Virginia Tech. Carolina 14-4 overall. Virginia Duke and Virginia Tech are 11-7. Did you see what Virginia did to Louisville over the weekend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, explain.
You want to hide the kids for this one. It was just ridiculous. It was really bad. I will pull it up if you can stall for a second.
I'll stall for a second. I'll talk about a couple of other things here real quick I can throw in. You pull up, I'll stall. How's that?
Good enough for me.
Here's some rankings from some other sports. CRCA rowing, number 8, Syracuse, is leading the ACC at this point. Number 11, Virginia. Number 14, Duke, receiving votes. Miami and Notre Dame. That's the most that we've seen in the CRCA rowing rankings for quite a while. So it's kind of nice to see 5 teams that are getting some recognition in there overall. And the USILA men's lacrosse rankings, number 1, Notre Dame, number 2, Duke, number 4, Virginia, number 7, Syracuse. In the IWLCA women's lacrosse rankings, number 2, Syracuse, number 3, Notre Dame, number 6, Virginia, number 6, Boston College. No, that was not a mistake on my part. It's tied. 15, UNC, and number 25, Duke. Now, I've killed adequate time for you to have pulled up that information.
Yes. All right. Good enough for me. So going back to baseball for a second, looking at what Virginia did to Louisville over the weekend, they won Friday night 21-3. Louisville took the second game 14-10, and then Virginia came back the third game and won 16-7. They put up 47 runs in 3 games.
I don't have many fingers on my hand, so.
Oh, and we can't forget what North Carolina did in sweeping Notre Dame. They won 13-0, just 7-2, but then 10-3. So they had, and it's not quite Virginia level, but pretty impressive beatdown. Yeah, Notre Dame's not that good this year. They're just 2-16 in the league. 16-18, and overall they're one of 3 teams under 500. I'm surprised that Miami's under 500 overall. That is,
yeah, I don't get that.
I don't know. I don't know if they're not hitting well, not pitching well. I'm kind of curious. I have to dig a little deeper into that.
That entire program has gone through, I don't know. It just crashed and burned in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, there's been a lot going on and with that program. Just,
it's a shame.
Good and bad, really.
Yeah. Very much so. That's a look at everything that's going on sports-wise across the ACC. Anything outside of the Atlantic Coast Conference that you may want to point at? Because, you know, we did have a championship for the Frozen Four just recently that you talked about with the aforementioned Matthew.
Yeah. The Frozen Four was held, about 20 minutes from where I live in St. Paul at the Xcel Energy Center, where I go to see Minnesota Wild games every so often. But Boston College was in the championship game against Denver University, and unfortunately, BC lost 2-0 behind. This is one of those situations where you see this in hockey, where if you can get into the postseason, you can, and you have a hot goalie, you can just ride it. And that's exactly what Denver did. Their goalie was just amazing throughout the tournament, and especially in that championship game. There was one save he made during the game that was just absolutely ridiculous. And it's just like, yeah, you're never going to play a better game in your life, probably, and help win the national championship.
Well, Boston College has its sort of ups and downs with their I think they're in the East Coast Hockey League, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. It's where they normally compete. Notre Dame competes in the Big Ten, and those teams are the two teams that are from the ACC that compete in ice hockey. So we like to keep an eye on what they're doing. And we got beach volleyball going on. The only team that I'm aware of, at least at this point, in the NCAA competition is Florida State. And I'll be sure to share some of that information with you down the road as to how Florida State is doing, because they typically are ranked in the top five nationally of beach volleyball teams, which is a lot of fun. Oh, and speaking of which, so sometimes I'm not like a really big Olympics fan. You know, I'll watch it on TV sometimes. Depends on what the sport is. But I've just sort of gotten out of that of watching the Olympics. For some reason, it didn't register with me that the Olympics are going to be in France. And that's coming up fairly soon. Well, I'm also going there, and I was looking through some stuff, some news articles the other day, and noticed that a vast majority of the Olympic venues are in and around Paris, and near a lot of things that people would normally go see, like the Eiffel Tower. I'm not a big, you know, if you want to go see Eiffel Tower, fine. Versailles, etc. There's a lot of those venues that are going to be there. The beach volleyball venue is at the Eiffel Tower. And you can take a boat trip to see a vast majority of the Olympic venues from the boat, which I may do because I'm getting ready to go to Paris. So...
Which sounds like a lot of fun, though. I mean, I love the Olympics personally. I like summer more than I like winter. I like swimming and track are probably my two favorite sports during the Olympics. But I definitely enjoy watching it every night.
Well, they say that the bacteria count in the river is maybe a little too high for people to compete, Olympic swimmers to dive into the waters. So we'll see what happens there. I'll stick my toe in, and if I come out with less toes than I put in, I'll let you know. So
okay.
Anyway.
Way to take one for the team, Jim.
That's right. Take one for the team. Let you know how it goes. Anyway, I just found that very interesting that I was sort of stumbling into it without, you know, realizing. I mean, I'm sure that anybody who is big into sports, such as you are, who is especially big into the Olympics, is thinking to themselves, how in the hell did you not know that the Olympics were going to be in Paris? I was concentrating on other things. Just to be frank, folks, my wife and I, we got married in 2020, right before the shutdown for COVID. So honeymoon was out. And so now we're finally getting ready to go on our honeymoon. So after waiting a few years. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be doing. So I'll send you some photos and some of the venues.
Well, I look forward to it. Enjoy your trip.
Will
hope
do.
You have you and your beloved Mrs. have a great time.
My better half.
Yes.
Yeah, we're both excited. All right. Until next time. Cheers.
School.
Thanks for listening to ACC Nation. Be sure to listen, like, and subscribe to our podcast, radio, and YouTube channels by visiting accnation.net. Follow us on Instagram, X, Facebook, Mastodon, Threads, Blue Sky, and Reddit at ACC Nation.
ACC Nation.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.